In this episode, there were some technical issues which were discovered after the recording was complete. After some deliberation, we have decided the recording was too captivating to not share, despite the technical issues. Sit back and enjoy the hyper-turbo wisdom delivered from this week's guest.
Welcome to Red Carpet Healthcare Solutions, hosted by Dr. Ryan Mauley and Travis Buzzell. Join us on this journey as we educate the patient population, inform today's medical providers, and inspire tomorrow's medical leaders through education and in-depth discussion. We can all discover today's best healthcare solutions. Now, sit back and enjoy Red Carpet Healthcare Solutions, Private Practice Podcasters.
Hey, everybody. Dr. Ryan Sawbones Mauley and my co-host,
Travis Buzzell.
And welcome to Red Carpet Healthcare Solutions, Private Practice Podcasters.
So, super excited about our guest tonight. We've been working with him for, I don't know what feels like, years now, but it's only been a few months, and we're kind of just getting a project up and rolling with him. And there is a unique feature that we just cannot stop paying him enough compliments about.
People on LinkedIn, they know who's coming up, right? Yeah. You just say one or two words. You say the stash, right?
The stash.
So on 3, 2, 1. And there you have it, folks.
Seth Turnoff. Welcome to the podcast.
How you doing, Seth?
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Fantastic intro. I'm floored. I'm flattered. Into it.
It is the greatest mustache I've ever seen. So
yeah. So, and now I'm going to wipe it off, but I had to do that for the intro. So, Seth, we talked a little bit offline, not too long. Hopefully we'll get a bit of an opportunity to talk when we're done here. But as we do with all of our guests, if you could just give us a 2 to 3 minute overview of kind of who you are, where you grew up, kind of what influenced you to do what you have done, your educational background, and where you are now and what you're doing.
Sure. I love it. So about me, I'm Seth Turnoff. That is my last name. If you can come up with something I haven't heard, I will be very impressed. But you better come with it because, you know,
he's witty, folks.
Don't tickle it. Yeah, we're okay. So let's see. I was born in Philadelphia. My wife says I can't still claim Philly because my family moved from Philly when I was 4 years old. I'm still going to claim it. We moved to South Florida, where I live now. I went away I did some time in Tallahassee, college, not prison. And I went to school long enough to be a doctor and a lawyer, which I am neither. I got started in healthcare in revenue cycle, right? So I was in the sexy and dynamic world of medical billing. If you know anything about it, you know that it's neither of those things. It might be dynamic, but that's just annoying. And so while I was in the trenches of revenue cycle, extremely frustrating job, I started to daydream a lot because I was on hold 80% of the time with the payers. It's funny that we call them payers, and trying to collect on claims for our clients' patients. And so I'm daydreaming, thinking about ways that we could move the revenue needle that didn't have anything to do with billing. And I did a deep dive on marketing and what was available at the private practice level, the retail level. And I realized real quickly that most of the traditional digital avenues are kind of rooted in this nebulous, confusing metric world of, you know, click-through rates and impression, you know, reductions of ad spend. This is a very, like, unless you speak marketing, you hear these things and you're like, oh, that sounds impressive. I guess it's working. But until you can connect the dots in marketing with healthcare and understand who came in as a result of the marketing, right? You know how much you spend on your marketing. Do you know how much it makes? So until you can do that, you're kind of guessing. So my partners and I put our heads together, and we came up with we didn't invent this, but what we do is we leverage our own consumer data to identify the most likely people for your services, most likely based on their consumer profiles, right? Who these people are, where they live, their household incomes, what they do on the weekends. Are they into sports, sedentary lifestyles? Have they bought a knee brace? Do they purchase over-the-counter NSAIDs for pain? These consumer attributes that we can kind of make a pretty educated guess on whether or not a specific healthcare service should be in front of them. So it's called hyper-targeted marketing. It's not done widely at the private practice level in healthcare. Healthcare has always had a marketing problem because marketing is not native to healthcare. So that's what we've been doing since 2019. And our clients are pretty pleased. It's different. We're certainly not for everybody. But the most important thing, because I'm extremely selfish, is that I really like what I do. I really like what I do. I really like the people that we do it for and with. And, you know, Doc, you and you as well, Travis, entrepreneurship is not easy. And if it is, you're probably not building something, right? What are you building? It's like, you know, you have to go through the pain, and everybody does. And it comes in waves sometimes. But I was having a conversation earlier today and with a colleague of mine, and we were both like, yeah, that's the capital T truth of, you know, building something, is that it's not going to be easy. You have to keep focused on your why and the objectives, and it's going to shift, and you're going to like have to pivot here and there. I don't know. What do you say, Doc? Do you think you've pivoted 3 times, 4 times since you guys started?
I mean,
big pivot.
Since I started practice, or started my own private practice, or all the above.
Started your own private practice.
Yeah. So we started January 1st, 2018. And I can't tell you how many times I've pivoted since then. Big pivots, small pivots. We're literally in the midst of probably one of our biggest pivots ever, which I'm not going to tell anybody right now because it's a surprise, but you're going to hear about it because you're going to be part of that pivot. But that'll be offline. So
yeah, of course. That's why I was smiling like that.
Yeah, at least in the last 7, going on 8 years now, I've made probably 5 or 6 pretty big pivots that are pretty career-altering type pivots. But, you know, I have a couple things that I live by, right? If I'm doing the same thing I'm doing right now and 5 years from now, I'm probably doing something wrong. You know, you mentioned something earlier when you were talking about just the enjoying your job, the challenges that come with what we do as entrepreneurs. And Travis and I, he always says to me, he's like, man, if it were easy, everybody'd be doing it. So like those kind of sayings always creep into my head. And then the most recent one that I have kind of talked about, you know, openly on LinkedIn was like the just changing, right? Because some people are very, very, most people are very uncomfortable with change. I myself, the thought of it makes me a little anxious, but I actually enjoy it. I enjoy the challenge. I enjoy embracing the change. And the quote that kind of like really got me to start Whole Health in 2018 was my mentor. He said, you know, Ryan, what hurts worse, the pain of change or the pain of staying the same? And I was like, dang, that's pretty profound. And preach. If I do nothing different, I'm in the same space I've been in for many years now. And I don't like the space that I was in at that point, being employed. I was in a private practice, but I was employed. And the partners that I was not a partner, we were not aligned. We did not have a similar vision. I was very, very entrepreneurial. They were very old school. And so I chose to kind of like stand on the edge of that cliff, spread my wings and make the jump. But it was a calculated risk. And again, I preach this all the time. I mean, this is why we have this podcast, Private Practice Podcasters, right? It's to help influence, inspire, educate others on why private practice is the right answer, at least for me. And I think it should be for more than 20% of the people, which is what it is right now. It's just, it's hard. It's difficult. The easier route, at least on paper or in theory, is hospital employment. But all those docs are miserable right now, or the vast majority of them are miserable and kind of wishing that mm-hmm. they wouldn't have put those golden handcuffs on. So, I mean, thoughts, Trev? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've had a very similar experience. I mean, we've pivoted, and I mean, just in our business a number of times, but, you know, I was with a big manufacturer for, you know, almost 10 years, you know, had, you know, tenure there. I was in with kind of the crew that I needed to be in with and was a performer, kind of always have been in that regard. And, you know, I had longevity and it had wheels, but it's like, you know, my wife and I and Seth, I know we've had really great conversations offline just about like our families and stuff. And it's like, you know, we went the IVF path and like, man, it's like, man, the traveling and then this and that. It just like wasn't like their model wasn't working for me. So it's like, okay, either I'm going to continue to do stuff for someone else or I'm going to take ownership of this. Okay. And so, and we did. And like a month after I left pretty much right out of school, what I knew in med device for almost a decade, just, okay, I quit. And my partner, Tony, who, you know very well. And, you know, we do this and like month one, kind of our first partnership just like absolutely blew up in our face. And I'm like, oh shit, you know, and we're sitting there and I'm like starting a family. I left this gig that was really good, although I traveled a lot. And I'm like, now what? And I'm sitting there. I'll never forget the moment. I'm like, you know what? And I think this is why we're like so aligned is like, we'll figure it out. That's the answer. We'll figure it out. I don't have the answer right this second, but I will. And like, you'll know it. Like, we'll figure it out. And that's what we did. I mean, and we built it and it's, I mean, it's huge. I mean, for what we do and where we do it, I mean, we're the market leader, but it's like, I'll never forget after 4 weeks of this venture, just being like, holy crap, it crashed and burned already. Now what? It's like, we'll figure it out. We got to pivot. We're going to turn, we're going to make it work. Right. And so that's what just like my firm belief is like in anything, relationships, friendships, business ventures, you know,
yeah, if it's worth it, you're going to make it work.
Exactly. If you really believe in something, like you can, and this guy, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've never met a person in my life that can will something to happen. And so like, it honestly does give me like some like, okay, I believe. And so it's like, you have to, if you're not fully committed to something and really bought into doing it, it's like, what the hell? Why are we having this conversation? Like,
but everybody involved needs to be aligned. 100%. Travis, what you went through, like that's a forced pivot, right? Yeah, it wasn't the decision. Exactly. You made the decision to get into this thing, but now you have to like pick up the pen, figure it out. And I think the respect, the trust, and the belief, right, have to all be in the pot together. Yep. and be firing on all cylinders. Because look, I believe in belief. It's a weird thing to say, but I mean, I believe I can make a good gumbo, but if I don't have the right ingredients, it's just not going to work.
Yeah. I think Jay needs to cue the, I believe I can fly. Woo. I believe I can touch the sky.
Get this guy a contract.
Yeah, baby.
Seriously. Man, good thing you took that mustache off. That wouldn't work.
No, I agree with you, Seth. You're definitely onto it. You're 100% right.
So Seth,
but it's more fun that way though.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't it more fun when you like when you're doing something with you're doing something big, you're building something, whether it's with your spouse or your business partner or your friends or something, and it's like it's exciting, it's rewarding, it's painful, but you get through it. And what you just said, Travis, he said, you know, we can do this. We can do this, right?
And it's got to be a little scary too, because I believe if it's not, it's not really that big.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. Because if you get too much in your comfort zone, and that's fine.
If it doesn't keep you up at night.
Yeah. If you don't wake up at 2 a.m, like 3 weeks consistently every single night, it's not.
Could
worth
you imagine
it.
No. If you we didn't, if we didn't have out. That, if we could just like go to bed and just not think about all of the things that run through our heads at night. Is it just us or is it everybody? It might be everybody, but I don't know.
It sounds
you think
awesome.
About. Do you ever get out of bed Do you ever get out of bed and action something?
Well, these guys know me. They're usually getting an email like, I'll formulate my thoughts between 2 and 5 a.m. and I'll be respectful and wait until 5:01 before I push the send
Smart.
Button.
That schedule send is could be your best friend.
It's a draft until 5:01 that it gets sent out.
There you go.
But I mean, again, I just think that everything that we're talking about in the pivots, whether they're forced or whether they're just, hey, I need to make a change. I feel like a lot of that though is growth too. Right. I mean, I just feel like from an entrepreneur's mindset, it's like, you know, again, the cheesy, like, you know, if you're not growing, you're dying. But it's like, if you're not evolving and looking for the next thing and you just become so content with what you're doing, I feel like that's where, like, and you've always said this, like, imitation is like, you know, one of the greatest forms of flattery. And it's like, yeah. You know, it's like, I want to be evolving and taking what we're doing to the next level every day, every month, every year, to where like, dude, you can't even keep up with trying to copy what I'm doing because it's so good each time that it's like, dude, you're nowhere even close to what we're doing. So you can try to get with, you know, 2 years ago. That's fine. We've been there, done that, man. We invented that. Try it. You know, we're on to the next thing. Right. And so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's got to be a word for that. It's like two steps past innovating, right? It's it's not you. Yes, it's innovating, but it's like there's a different level of it. What you just explained, Travis, where it's like, you know, you want to do this? Yeah, sure.
I'm Marty McFlying it or Doc Browning it. Like I'm in the future, baby.
Doc Browning.
I'm Doc Browning it.
Flux capacitoring it.
Too wordy.
Too wordy.
But Dr. Browning it is definitely fluxing. Not it.
I'm fluxing.
Okay, yeah, I like it. I'm fluxing.
So,
yeah.
Seth, I have a question. So,
sure.
You moved from Philly to Florida, right? You went to school for doctor, lawyer years. What was your major? And when?
I had like four majors. I totally bounced around. At one point, like I fell through the administrative cracks. I got my AA at a community college up there. And then I went to Florida State. I was, I finished with an interdisciplinary social science degree. What is that? Yeah. I don't even know.
What is that? Classes. That's a thing.
Fluxing.
Yeah. It's just like a whole, I was just fluxing back then. For a period, I was a leisure rec major. They had a major called leisure recreation and
what, does
you know,
that
it
mean?
Sounds like a joke. Like, so it's
because
all about
it is a joke, Seth.
That's facilities management. No. There's some real stuff. Facilities management. We did some planning and like kind of,
when you say facilities, traffic. You mean like laboratories or what do you mean?
No. Like recreation facilities and like planning. And like, there's kind of like, you know, traffic pathways and like different materials that are for use, like that are regional and that like kind of, you know, it's just like, first of all, that was years ago. I haven't spoken about that because like,
sounds like it's
so
too
long.
Expensive for any of the groups that would have ever needed to contract that sort of thing. Like,
oh, totally. Totally. But for students who are just like, man, I don't know what to do. Like, all right, this sounds cool. Like I'll take a golf class in the morning, like summertime, summer sessions, like Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Went out for an hour.
I'm going back
to the range.
School.
Played golf.
I'm going back.
Got 3 credits. Like, all right. Like, sure, man. Fine.
So what led you to, I mean, you said you were in the, what was your initial healthcare revenue cycle?
Revenue cycle management. Yeah.
So what, was there just a breaking point where you're like, this sucks or?
So I did a bunch of stuff after school, back in college. I owned a business, right. After school, it was a live music venue, a bar, just beer and wine. And we had live music, right? I used to play some music myself, and I went on, got to do a couple laps of the country, got to play CBGBs, play the whiskey in LA. Some stuff's coming out here.
The mystery behind the mustache. I like it.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, there's plenty. And so I moved back down here to South Florida after I sold the bar, and I came home, and I had a beard back then. So I shaved the beard and I got a real job.
So you were kind of like Matthew Ray Scott in it, but
beard gang.
Yeah, I was like pre-Matthew. I looked homeless. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but like it was Travis? Just like a very, it wasn't, or, you know, no, Travis is very, Travis
where's
is
my
clean.
Tin cup? I'm refined, dude. You grow up.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. He's jealous. Nah, 100%. I couldn't see. Doc, I don't know. You ever been a beard guy?
Oh, you know, the problem is when I grow it, it gets so itchy. And I know everybody says you just got to make it through that. And I've tried the past couple winters, you get to hunting season. And then when your boys start saying, hey, dad, you look like Santa Claus because there's more white than black in my beard or brown in my beard. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm out.
See, like, that's the problem is the youth can't determine. They don't understand being distinguished. Don't get that. It's lost on the youth, which, you know, there's a lot of stuff that the youth is extremely powerful, but man, they don't know distinguished. Where were we going here? We were talking about mustache.
Your current position.
Oh, so I was doing the revenue cycle and it was a miserable job. It really was, but it was kind of like,
and Seth, I don't know, but when you say revenue cycle, I mean, you had sort of alluded to it. So like medical billing.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I was, I assume that everybody understands what this is, and that is terrible of me.
No.
Revenue cycle, medical billing. I was on a denials management team for a revenue cycle company. So basically, that's what it was. Yeah. When claims were denied, you know, we had our deck that we would kind of go through all these claims that weren't paid, and we would have to follow up with them. So we would call the insurance companies, ask them about the claim number, ask why this claim was denied, or we'd see the report and we would, you know, here was the annoying part. Let's just take Blue Cross Blue Shield, Florida Blue. Say you have to call them three times about the same claim. You talk to three different reps about the same denied claim. You will get three different reasons for denial and three different courses of action to correct it. But change this modifier, or you need to fax in the corrected claim with the notes, with this cover letter. Nope, you need to mail in the corrected claim. You don't need the notes, but you need this cover letter. And it all seemed like arbitrary, right? And it all there was nothing standardized. And that's the game. And I learned, I'm trying to figure it out the first 2 months. It's a game. And I would come home from work and I would be so angry and frustrated, and my wife was like, dude, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? I'm like, it doesn't make sense. None of this makes sense. And it was so frustrating. So I did that for a few years, and you know, the last year was kind of like, okay, this isn't the way. I don't think anything's going to change, because you know, the pockets are just so deep with the corporations just making so much money on the backs of the physicians and the patients, and not in a nice way. It's not like, oh, we're all in this together. It's just like, no, it's not.
Not a team.
And
effort.
So I did that job while I was starting this. So it was kind of like a sliding scale.
It seemed like kind and of that, like maybe that the fuel
could kind of go away. Right. Which is good, because I would not be happy.
Your current company, is it CMM?
It is CMM. Stands for Custom Medical Marketing.
Okay.
I made a joke today in the comments section of a friend of mine who was making fun of the name, and I said, "Nah, man, it stands for Cool Man Marbles." it's nonsensical. But we did a name change about a year and a half into running the company, because every time I would get on the phone with someone, or at least try to, they'd be like, oh yeah, marketing. Nah, we got it. We do that. We have our website and we got our reputation stuff, and we don't do, you know, we're good. I'm like, no, that's great that you're good. That's not at all what we do. So kind of, we'll just use the acronym instead of the term marketing. And marketing, as you know, can mean probably 63 different things, right? There's a ton of different types of marketing. And so I think going a little vague has served us a lot better than being like, yeah, we're a marketing company. So yes.
What has your journey been like from 2019 when you first started it to now? Like, how did you get to your kind of your niche? Cause you are a very niche type marketing company. You're not your traditional marketing company. As you said, you're hyper turbo marketing, or
well, we are now. I love hyper turbo. That's amazing.
Hyper targeted.
Writing that down. Hyper turbo. No, dude, we're hyper turbo. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I love it.
TM.
That's a Molly
turbo.
That's a Molly. So how do we get here? Okay, so we knew that what we do, it's not search based at all. Nobody is trying to be found in our program. We're using the data to identify people, actual people, not segments, cohorts, lookalikes, or digital twins. People who fit the persona that we're looking for, whether it's total joints, spine, regenerative medicine, pediatric ortho, cardiac vascular, all types of cardiac vascular. I wouldn't go into that in this show because that's not interesting to you. I mean, it might be. We'll do it offline. So we started with orthopedics and we tailored our audience. We did a lot of experimenting with, and it was total joints that we really kind of started with, and playing with the age range and just trying to understand what's the sweet spot between, like, how many people do we need in an audience with consistent attributes, like the active lifestyles, NSAIDs for pain, different sports that are in there, in an age range, and as well as what we learned is $50,000 minimum household income. That's a sweet spot if you're looking for commercial insurance. Obviously, age 64 and younger. Some of our clients, they love Medicare, but they would like to skew younger. So we can do that with the age range. And we played around a lot with messaging and different creative angles. What we learned is that if you can put something, information in front of someone who is likely to find that information relevant, and you can do this at scale and on repeat, it's only a matter of time before that person either needs you or doesn't. And that time frame is solely dependent on that person's pain cycle. Like, where are they? Because if someone's pain, if they're a weekend warrior, they play pickleball or golf or tennis, and then it's kind of been at my right knee, it's been aggravating a little bit. It's at worst, it's like a two. Nobody is searching for any solution if their pain is at a two. They're just not. They're going to get on with their life. Now, if their pain gets to a five and they can't play as much as they like to, they can't. Once someone can't do the things they like doing and it interferes with their regularly scheduled program of their life, that's when they might consider something. Now, the thing about the internet is nobody searches when they already know, right? So if the solution was in front of this person when they're at a two, their pain is at a two, maybe somewhere in their travels, they clicked into it and they learned a little bit about, oh, where it might be coming from. Maybe they watched a video on, with the specialist, and kind of learned about it. What we realized and we learned from years of doing this is that if you can be the first to educate someone on what is going on, possibly because we can't diagnose digitally, but what is going on with their body potentially causing this pain. And if you can get that person to lean in, you've earned their trust. They know who you are. Chances are they probably like you, because if you're putting yourself out, it's like, you know, it's better than going to some whatever site and reading about what it might be. That can work too. But I think, you know, video just literally speaks to people, right? So
for sure,
if you can be the first one to educate and someone is willing to lean in and listen, when they pick up a phone and they make an appointment, 9 times out of 10, they're calling you because you've already made that connection, right? And what we've learned on top of that, we had a client, neurosurgeon, great doc, and just an exceptional human being. And they were telling me about, he did some video for his website and just people who would hit it before they started using us. He was telling me about this video where he, you know, explains where, you know, the barbecue joint that he and his family like to go to on the weekends. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, what? Like, that's not like, what are you, What are you putting a video like that out for? And then I saw the video in context on his site. And I totally changed my tune. Because as a specialist, he's introducing himself as a specialist because he is. Then he's sharing something like that you wouldn't lead with as a neurosurgeon. And it made me like him as a human being and think like, oh, he's no different than me. I like barbecue too. And it was kind of like this thing. And if I lived in the same town, it would be even more impactful because I know that place. Oh man, I'm going to get, whoa, this doctor kind of, that's, and it kind of like took away the whole kind of like that. I don't know. Is there a name for what happens between a specialist and a patient and the white, I know there's white coat syndrome, but this is different. This is kind of like, you know, a lack of access to a specialist because yeah. they're a specialist.
But like when he breaks them. It.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It made me really like the guy. And I love being able to change my mind and feel so strongly about something and then be like, I was wrong. Then here's why. And I think that was the second time that it happened doing this job. The first time, if I may, our flagship client, Big Orthopedic Group, we're a year into working with them, having great results. And then I hear that they're spending like $4,000 a month on billboards. And I was incensed. But hello, like we're killing it over here for you. Like spend the money with us. Like, what are they doing? Now, about a year into that, I changed my tune. I don't have the data to support this disclaimer, but I know for a fact that those billboards strategically placed in their town have helped our campaign. I can't prove it, but I know that branding and that brand recognition and just like layering on, it's just another touch to this community who kind of already knows that they exist and who they are and what they're about.
It's top of mind. Right?
It's all about the touches. Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be top of mind. It's like, I recognize, like for us, I recognize that tree. Kind of looks like a person with their arms spread out. And I've seen that somewhere, right? It's just, and then when they see it again, they're like, ah, that's where I saw it, right? And I'm so just fascinated with the data. Like, how are you?
Yes.
And I'm not asking you to give us your secret sauce, but like, how do you know who's buying Motrin? How do you know who's, who's the best hip and knee surgeon, or I want a knee brace? Like, where are you getting this data? How do you find that?
Sure.
And
sure, I'll give you this.
And even further than that, like, you basically just told us these are people who don't want to be found. Yet somehow you have all of these amazing data points about
them.
Well,
it's not that they don't want to be found. I may have misspoke.
Well, they're not advertising online that they're looking for help for this stuff, right? So it's like,
no,
it's sort of cryptic in some of these data points. But like, yeah, you literally took the words out of my mouth. Secret salt, everything he just said. Like, that is fascinating.
So the secret sauce, I'm going to tell you right now. You might want to write this down.
Burger sauce?
Hold on.
It's ketchup and mayonnaise. That's it. A little bit. There it is. That's the secret sauce, Doc. That's it. It's just the mustache.
Hold on. This is
what it's all coming to me now.
This is what we started with. Is there relish in it?
You kind of look like you. It cut from here. It kind of looks like the lion from the Wiz, from the Wizard. Oh, it's okay. Got like this, like it's very grand and kind of. Travis, good. Now I can take you seriously.
I'm feeling good, honestly.
It's better. It's better.
It's curling on you.
It's curling on you. Welcome to my world, Travis.
You got a flow, is what you got.
It's ketchup and it's mayonnaise.
And it's relish.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm playing with you. It's just a little touch of relish. So here's how we get it. So we have deals with a number of online publishers, app developers. Anytime someone, a consumer, gives their information to a site and they check that box, whoever that publisher or developer is, they aggregate that.
And
we have deals with them that we have gotten that data, and then we categorize it based on the attributes, like what verticals they're in. And look, do people lie? Sure. Everybody lies. I'm not everybody, but like, you know, when you're filling out something online, and it just depends on what it is. So there's no way to know everything about someone without a doubt, which is good because that's kind of weird. But if you have any online presence, if you shop online, if you search online, if you go, if you have apps, if you download apps and use them, you know, you have to tick the box to have access. And that's why, like, you know, 23andMe, it's topical and it's unfortunate, but, you know, that's kind of, that's what can happen. Like, you know, people put, give their data to a company and then something happens to the company and, you know, they don't have access to their data and their data is just out there. Everyone's data is out there. I got a phone call, the other day, someone called me, and which, you know, I get it. Someone asked me, they were like, wait, how did they get your phone number? And I'm like, really? You want, or is that a real question? So I, you know, when we started doing this, I was talking to my wife and I was like, no, it's kind of, you know, this is how we're going to do it. This is what we're going to do. And like, I was like, what do you think about that? Is that, do you think that's kind of crossing a line somewhere? And she looks at me and she goes, wait,
dude, you're going to
tell you want to use, you want to use my data so you can put more relevant things in front of me that I will probably like, enjoy and buy. Yeah, please. Could you please do that? That would be great. So, I mean, it takes all types. And if you're not into it as a consumer and you think, oh my God, I don't want my stuff. There's ways that you can, like, you know, clean your stuff up. Or just don't go online. You could always just do that as well. That so would probably be easier.
What has been your success rate since 2019? Like, say a practice comes to you and says, hey, Seth, this is what we're looking to do. This is the campaign we're looking to launch. Can you give us just an example? I mean, it doesn't have to be specific. You don't have to give us any names. But just walk us through kind of the process. Because I'm sure there's lots of private practices out there that could absolutely 100% benefit from your services.
Sure. So here's what we have learned and here's where we have gotten to since 2019. You can spend as much money as you can afford on marketing, but if your sales process sucks, you will be wasting every dollar that you're spending on your marketing. So what I mean by that is, you know, we're going to identify an audience, right? That our clients, our prospects, you know, we're gonna diagnose them and figure out what they're looking for. What are your highest reimbursing procedures? And like, does that fit with our data sets? You know, there's some specialties that aren't really a good fit for us, like
OB-GYN.
Internal medicine. No, OBs are, that's great.
Really?
You know, women, yeah, there's three life stages that women see in OB. That's birth control, fertility, or menopause. Easy. But the problem with OBs is that women, they don't often switch unless they are new to an area and they don't have like a network that they can kind of, you know, have one of their trusted, you know, friends or colleagues, you know, refer them, or they're unhappy with their current situation. So it's a lot tougher of an acquisition play for OBs, but that's for another time. I like to understand how a practice is handling the inbound, right? Because we can put eyes on your stuff, right? We can get your phone to ring. If someone has to wait 4.5 minutes on your annoying IVR before a human picks up and talks to them, that's a problem. If your attention to the patient experience isn't what consumers want, that's going to be a problem. We didn't start this company so we could just like fleece private practices and like, well, that's, you know, that's not, well, that's on you. You know, that's not our problem. We're doing this over here. Right. And, you know, maybe I'm a bad business person, but that's not why we started this company. It was to help. So as long as all of your ducks are in a row, let's assume that you kill it on the sales operations side. Right. And you have some compassionate, educated, helpful people answering the phones who just will listen to someone, not trying to get them off the phone because they're doing patient intakes and they're doing insurance verifications. Like, they're dedicated to the sales process. So let's assume that happens. Let's see. So we have a client right now. We are on the third month of a 90-day pilot. We have an audience of about 179,000 people, right? And we have shown over 550,000 impressions to this audience. So we have a set of four different ads that we're running, and this is a social media campaign, so Facebook and Instagram. So only the people in our audience are seeing our clients' ads when they're in their feed over and over. Now, we can track the click-through rates. I think they're at 1.1%, so 1.10%. That means the number of impressions divided by the number of clicks gives you your click-through rate. Anything over 0.8, depending on the subspecialty, 0.8 and above is good. But we're looking at all the metrics in terms of which ads are performing better. And then our clients look at how many hits are actually getting to their site and what's the time on site. This client's site is kind of a funnel. It's designed to give information. They can collect a email address for a newsletter, and there's some other stuff they can click off it, but then it's to reiterate the information. Who is this for? What you can expect? What do we do? Where we are, and like about us, so that the user feels comfortable. And so the third, fourth time they go, they're like, oh, okay. We all know that it could, you know, there's 100 reasons that a person can bounce from that buyer's funnel. You know, you get a text, your kids are calling from the other room, like, so, you know, you're not doing it until you need it. And then you go and then you complete it. And the completion, the conversion, usually for us, is them calling and booking an appointment. And I used to say call or click. If our client has a book now kind of module on their site, that's great. It takes less burden from their staff, and a patient can just go in and book. The majority of our conversions happen through a phone, but it depends on the client. So this client, we're coming up on the third month, I said. We're not doing a match back from them, but they have received a ton of their, they have a toggle that's every time someone hits the button on the phone number. So that's rang 110 times. Now, I want to be clear. Not everybody is going to hit that button. Not every one of those 110 clicks is going to be a patient. It might be. It might be someone calling for a question. So we don't have that final attribution, but we go by, it takes impressions to get clicks, to get phone calls, to get patients, right? So we're on the front end. We're the tip of the spear in terms of identifying the people who we need to communicate with, showing them an ad, getting them to take action.
As a disclaimer, this podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information and the materials linked to this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content on this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice from any medical condition they have, and they should seek the assistance of their healthcare professional from any such conditions.